This is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick, and by Advanced Rehab. And now, here is your host, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, by Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, Advanced Rehab, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Travis Rowland. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good.
How's it going?
Good, good, good. Coach, that last-second field goal, right, sealed a dramatic 24-21 win over Tift County. What was going through your mind as that kick went up?
People probably think you're crazy because you missed one earlier from either the same distance or even closer. And it was funny. I don't know if many people know. You probably know because you've been every game. That was our first made field call all year long.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've tried. So one for lack of trying. And I think, you know, I've always said you can't ask your kids to trust you in non-comfortable situations if you don't trust them.
Right.
And so for me, it was like, you know, got to trust Jacob, you know. And he reminded me, I told him before the game, I wanted him to create a memory for himself. I mean, he's only a junior, but I guess I.
He certainly did that.
Yes, yeah. He did. Because he'll never forget, you know, winning a game in a walk-off fashion. So, just honestly, it was like, I know DC can get the ball down. So, it was like, if we get the snap back there, David will get the ball down. And then it became protection. And Jacob, keep your head down and make the kick. Don't look at the rush. And so I think both those things happened and, you know, worked out awesome.
He did that. You could see when he, you know, took his couple steps back and his one to the left. He saw his, he kind of took this big breath and you could see him look down. And you could tell he was, you know, trying to block all that other stuff out and just focus on the kick.
And what was crazy, he kind of got messed up. I don't even remember why we had to call, why there was a timeout or delay in it. But when he lined up the first time, then we had to call timeout. And so it was a weird deal where, matter of fact, we had to call timeout. I forget what happened, but, that's right. He walked off his steps wrong.
Right.
The ball was at six.
The ball was in the wrong place.
That's right. Yeah. So we had to call timeout. Thankfully, Will made a good, even though it ended up being a intentional grounding play, we still had the timeout. So and then we were able to actually get that set because the ball being at 6 or 7 doesn't make a big difference. And so then the timeout, a couple guys were about to mess with him. And thankfully, you know, some of our coaches were like, guys, leave him alone. He's got it. Because everybody was cool. You are. You got it. Like, don't tell him. Leave the kicker alone. It's like, guys, do you watch football? And so.
do you even know what you're talking about?
Right. Yeah, right. We kept him kind of shielded during that timeout. And I swore in his veins, went back out there and executed the best he could. Like I say, too, him taking that deep breath, obviously that's going to clear his head. And I think he did a good job of keeping his head down because the kid creamed him on the follow-through.
Yes.
Actually roughed him, but I guess the ref wasn't even worried about throwing the flag because they were ready to get out of
time
there.
Time runs out, yeah.
It was a great experience. I was glad that, you know, people got to see the kids. You could see they wanted it and you could, you know, how they celebrated and how happy they were. So a great experience for them to be able to have that because you could, I mean, in my playing career, I lost one like that where they kicked, it was an overtime. I've never had a win where we won a game in my playing career where we won it at the buzzer. So I think
that was
kind of a really good feeling for them to be able to experience that.
Hey, what goes into picking which kicker you're going to use? Because, I mean, you used a bunch of different kickers this year, different spots. You kickoff specialist and punter and that type of thing.
So you have to, you know.
It wasn't Jacob that attempted the first one in the game, I don't think.
Nope,
Was it Levi?
Yeah, it was Levi.
Okay.
Levi got the first one. Obviously, Coach really does a great job with his guys. He knows them. You know, at one point, Barnes, our young guy, was doing all the extra point stuff just because he was kind of the most consistent with it. And then Jacob and Levi were doing the field goals, and Tabor was a kickoff guy. So, like, just trying to figure out in that moment. And I think Coach Rilling, you know, I trust him to put the guy there that he thinks is going to make the kick. Same with Coach Tolentino. They kind of have to come to that conclusion, that decision. And that's where, you know, as a coaching staff, you say, hey, man, like, listen, if you make this choice, I'm trusting you, so I'm wearing this decision with you. So just got to trust the coach to make the right decision for the program.
So what'd you see from your team, like, before the field goal, just that drive to lead in it, to get it set up was fantastic. To get down the field, to get into a place where you felt comfortable trying the kick.
We did it twice in the game, oddly enough. And the two biggest drives of the games were the two-minute drive before halftime, where we scored with, I think, 12 seconds to go. And then the last drive of the game, and I think it showed that practice works. You know, we've had red zone period for the last month, and then we've had 2 minute at the end of practice, best on best, you know, for the last month. And I think that stuff showed up to where, you know, you had to, because, I mean, there was one day, it was an incomplete pass, but, like, we got into fourth and, I think, like, fourth and 25. And Will threw up a deep ball to Dakari Hughes in practice. And if not for Will just throwing it a hair too far, he might have completed it. And so I think us practicing those situations kind of showed up in the game where there was no need for panic. We knew how many timeouts we had. The communication, the lines of communication were clear. And what's funny about practice is that I'm on the complete other side. I'm over there doing defense. And so in a game, my voice is technically added to the offense. And so I have to be smart about how much I do talk and communicate so that I don't mess up the system that they already have. And so I thought but we executed at a very high level in those two-minute drives. And it ultimately was the reason we won the game.
I agree. And in that play, right before the field goal, I was questioning about the intentional grounding because I thought if you put it out of the end of the end zone, because he threw the ball
of the end zone, didn't he? You have to be out of the pocket and you can throw it anywhere.
Okay.
There was not a receiver in the area. Him being in the pocket is debatable. They say he was in the pocket, I threw the flag. And so that was kind of nerve-wracking in a sense.
Sure.
It's like, dude, like, oh, man, this is a really close field goal from the 5-yard line, like an extra point. Now you back it up 10. And it's like, oh man, you know, now it's a little bit longer. You know, I went from a 15, 20 something yard field goal to
32. It was at the end. Yeah.
It's a big difference, you know, in 10 yards, especially when it's been how it's been for us all year long. So just glad that we were able to kind of make that happen.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. How important was it for the group to end the season on a positive note like that, you know, especially in a tight region?
Huge.
One,
you don't want to be winless. That's,
yeah.
You know, I think that the last time that happened was 2021, maybe, and we don't want to be winless, even though that was a short time ago. Still don't want to experience that. You know, the other times that happened, you know, was some other years. Just don't want to be a part of that. You know, like I told the kids, as a player, as a coach, I don't even know what finishing last feels like. And I said, I don't want you guys to know what that feels like. And so I thought we did a good job of rallying behind that and then just honestly rallying behind each other in the sense of wanting to send the seniors out the right way. We had some seniors play their butts off. Like, that's why I had Parks come up in front of the team because he did a phenomenal job in catching 7 balls for 2 touchdowns in his last game, breaking tackles and just – sticking his face in there to block on some run stuff. So, you know, you want to win for guys like that. And so I thought the kids did a good job of doing that and coming together to win a game. And I thought, like I told them in there too, Camden County Wildcats don't quit. Camden County Wildcats swing first. Camden County Wildcats, you know, play till there's 4-0 on the clock. And I thought they did a good job of doing that, of playing for the whole game.
You talked about Parks briefly, but were there any individual performances that really caught your eye in that final game? Like, definitely felt like the defense stood up in crucial situations.
Yep, I tell everybody this is the first time in 6 weeks we've had Chunky and Daquan both
at the same time.
Yeah. And it showed.
Yes. What a difference that could have been, right?
It's a huge difference when you've got, you know, essentially 2 all-region type of defensive linemen playing defense for you. You know what I mean? And so this was the most healthy we've been as a defense all year, where we had everybody out there. There was no suspensions. There was none of that. No, you know, nothing. No injuries. We had everybody out there at the same time. And so
it showed too.
And it showed, you know, because the kids played really, really well in the run defense. And I think too, you know, Trent Davis, you know, he's been battling his shoulder coming in and out of place since Lounge week, and I thought, you know, he played a great game. You know, you couldn't tell that, you know, because like Tyler Rowe had to come out for some stuff, and the coach went back into play center, and he finished the game for us, and it wasn't like Will was running for his life. Like I told somebody earlier, the 912 podcast, that Tibbs' defense had given everybody fits all year long.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Vadas' offense, the only one that kind of you know, ran amok with the score. And that even that game was a one score game. It was 48-35 or something like that. But it was, you know, it was a close game. Everybody else, they were up on they had held Copeland to 10 points. It was 14-10 and a half.
Absolutely.
So they had played really solid defense all year. So for a country to go out there and battle as a senior, I thought he did a really good job. And I just thought, you know, we played a full complete game for the first time where offense, defense, special teams were all one. We recovered every one of the onside kick attempts, which you hold your breath because
guys
have been, which it's crazy to think that our guys are so electric on the back end that people elected all year long to kick onside kicks. And like, kids don't see it a bunch.
Yeah, sure.
And so now it's the ball handling piece where everybody's holding their breath every time the other team's kicking the ball off. So it's a weird deal.
Yeah, I don't know that we got a complete kick away in a region game, except maybe one time when you had somebody besides DC back there.
There might have been three in between all those games where we got a real kickoff. So definitely kudos to David, who should repeat as athlete of the year again for the region because of what he did this year as a receiver, DB, and returner. So I think he's definitely got the chance to do that again.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
In life and in sports, you need a winning strategy to be successful. Hi, I'm Dr. Denny Carter. At Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, our strategy is to treat orthopedic injuries safely and effectively so you can return to your activities quickly. Find us on the field or in the neighborhood with convenient locations in Brunswick, St. Mary's, and St. Simons Island. We offer same-day emergency appointments and the resources of Southeast Georgia Health System. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lou Saab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles, and mention you heard us on this coach's show and receive an additional $500 off any new in-stock purchase. Lou Saab Kia at the end of Altama, 912-254-2034, and online at LouSaabKiaOfBrunswick.com.
Friday nights under the lights. Nothing beats high school football in our community. And just like your team, Marshland Credit Union is built on hometown pride. We're here to help you score big, whether it's your first savings account, a new ride, or your dream home. Join us in celebrating our local athletes, because at Marshland, we believe in supporting every goal, on and off the field. Marshland Credit Union. Local roots, big wins.
Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Cunningham Jewelers. Coach, when you look back at the season as a whole, what are some of the things that you think the team improved upon the most or got better at?
Shoot, so we keep a control the controllables thing that Coach Tolentino makes every week talks about things we control. Drop balls, penalties, that kind of deal. And our penalties got astronomically better as the year went. And so that was kind of one of the biggest things for me that showed up for us. And so that's the part where, you know, I think, you know, we got just, I mean, 1,000 times better as the year went. And that was the biggest piece for me that showed up for us.
So what areas do you feel like need the most attention then as you kind of move into the offseason? What are you looking to address?
Attention to discipline to the scheme, what we're doing on defense for sure. Yeah. I think that, you know, that's the reason where, like, we could get a stop on a first or second down, but then when it's third and three and they run the same exact play again, you know, we didn't necessarily handle it the right way because I think we thought they were going to do it. And I'm saying from a coaching perspective and a kid perspective, we might have thought they're going to run the same play four times in a row, and they did because they're saying we think you won't be disciplined enough every single play to do the same thing every single play, and you have to because if you get nosy and jump out of a gap, if that running back is disciplined enough, he'll be able to gash you and find the open holes. So I think that's one of the biggest pieces that we have to just – we got to be able to do the same thing over and over again 100 times in a row. And be okay with it. And I think that's the biggest part that we struggled with this year was being disciplined enough to do the same thing over and over again until we didn't have to do it. Like, and that's going to be a big one for us as we go.
So you got some electric players that are, you know, this is going to be the last of their playing days for Camden. You know, Parks, DC, Antoine, all those guys.
Yeah, that running back room.
How do you evaluate then the growth and development of your younger players this year? You know, you got Sean Green's coming back. We'll be back.
Yep.
You know, what's next
for the young guys?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be growth. You know, I until you know we had some conversations. You know, I didn't realize how young we actually were on offense, especially in terms of the year they were, like their year of school, and then also in terms of their experience. You know, we only had essentially, I don't think Country started the year. He didn't. So we had no offensive linemen with starts out there to start the year.
Yeah, well, they should be some maulers next year.
Yes, that's the prayer.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was Will's first time being the full-time starter and being in South Georgia, which I thought he handled it well.
I did too.
You know, at receiver, you know, Sean Green was the only returning starter because DC wasn't a full-time guy at receiver last year until the end. And then you didn't have Parks in the beginning of the year. So I think the biggest thing is we have to show the guys, the young guys that are coming back, here's the things we did good. Embrace the bad. There's bad, right? There's bad coaching decisions. There's bad football plays. There's bad that's up there. We have to embrace that bad the right way and just be ready to fix it. And like I told the kids, like when you go look at some of the stuff and some of our losses, there's a whole lot of us, not necessarily the other team doing something grand or doing something great. There's a lot of us. Like when number one from Vedasta makes the catch where he's got the coverage draped over and makes it almost with one hand, that's a great play by him. But then there's other stuff where if somebody's wide open or if it's something like that, now that's something different where we can control that. And so that's the biggest piece of things where I think we just have to be better as the season goes on. And so, you know, just making sure, you know, we get those things. But I think, again, like I got talking about that controllables deal, that talks about drops, penalties, negative gains, and turnovers. We had our lowest one, the lowest two of the season, the last two games of the year, where it was 15% of plays were negative and 17% of the plays were negative. And so that's where we have to be better. And I can tell you right now, which will make you laugh, the game where we had the highest negative rate of controllables that we messed up on was Richmond Hill. And that's why that loss stunk so bad, because on 27% of our offensive plays, there was a negative situation that we could control, and that's turnovers, drops, offensive penalties, and then negative gains. And so that's a game where we didn't do well in that game. And so we just, you know, those things we got to be better at, things we can control as the season goes on, and just making sure we do those things. But I think if we can learn from the negatives the right way and take the constructive criticism the right way, for me, like I've already given our kids the exit survey where I have to be able to take the things that they say in that survey and take it the right way.
And
improve from it. Our coaches, when I read them some of the, I won't tell them what the kid who said it, but I will read to them like, hey, this is a defensive lineman saying that we need to do this X, Y, or Z better. And here's the rating he gave you on a scale of 1 to 10 as a position coach. Don't take it and make it, let it hurt you. Just let it drive you, push you to be better, because we have to be better.
Sure.
We have to listen to our players. So just we got to embrace the bad that we see or hear and be able to be better because of it.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, if you could change one or two things about how the season went, what would it be or what would they be?
I would win more regional games. Oh, man. I think I would just change some of our mindset, you know, against some of the teams we're going to play. I wish that we would go in with the mindset that we are Camden, and that we are the Camden of old, that we can still do and play the way they played with the and not so much, I think my biggest thing is play with the mindset of a 2008 or 2009 Camden County football player. I think that's the biggest piece for me is we got to figure out how to get ourselves to the mindset of a 08 or 09 or even 03 guy, right? Or 07
team,
where you know they went one game away from it. So I think that's one of the biggest things I wish I could change is mindset. And that's a part of, you know, I have to figure out how to press the right buttons to get the mindset to change, and the kids have to figure out, you know, how to get the mindset. But I think that's one of the biggest things I want to be able to change is just the mindset that we have.
So what does the off-season schedule look like going forward? Like, you know, when does – I mean – the new day of the new year starts the day the last one ends, right? Yeah, like what does that look like for y'all?
So, I mean, the biggest piece for us right now is we've got to get these seniors that want to play college football into college. Obviously, you have to have that sit down with them because every kid doesn't want to go play college football. Some of them want to, some don't. You have to figure out what's too far. You know, what's affordable, because if when you look at high school football now, you know, most kid on your team, even your really good players, a lot of them are Division II to FCS players. And the problem now is that, you know, the portal has affected so much of that. So you have to figure out what's the best package you can get these kids. And so, you know, last year we had a ton of seniors, so we were able to get 14 of the kids in the school and give them opportunities to go play if they chose to go do that. And so now it's a smaller class, and some kids I've already told me they don't want to go play college football. They're just going to go to – they're going to either just go to school or they're going to just go to work. And so we have to work through how we'll get that piece of it going. But that's the number one thing right now. Like I said, you heard me say – I gave the kids, they did their surveys today. I had the seniors write letters to the younger guys. I had the guys that are coming back write a letter to their future self. And so that was some things we did yesterday. Then we got back in the weight room today. So we lifted weights for about 45 minutes. And then we finished up with the survey that the kids did to kind of give me the state of the program, where they're at mentally. So a lot of those things are already starting where we're getting into it. And when I say in the weight room, we're starting at ground zero, starting like they don't even know how to lift. Because obviously the body's a little tired anyway, so you can afford to kind of reactivate the body on a slow crescendo. We'll be able to get back heavy into it going into December, and then they'll get that Christmas break to kind of super recharge.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question already. I had down here, what kind of emphasis are you going to place on strength and conditioning heading into 2026? I know y'all did, y'all put on some weight as team last year too. And is that, I'm sure.
That'll stay that way. Yeah, we'll continue to want to be bigger. I think we didn't necessarily get pushed around, especially defensively.
I agree.
It was more discipline to the scheme, which I'm probably going to say that 1,000 times over the next 6 months or so. But we didn't get pushed around up front, which is something I thought happened in the previous year. We just weren't strong or big enough. And then for our offensive line, continue to get stronger up top so that we can continue to, you know, because you do have to push people a little bit on the O-line as opposed to positional blocking. So, that's going to still be an emphasis of gain as much weight as we can and get as strong upper body wise as we can. But, I think we did a great job at last year. That's why I said mentality is going to be the big thing we'll work on this offseason is developing that dog mentality. But I look at it as, you know, developing that old school 2007, 2008, 2009 Camden County Wildcat attitude where when those guys stepped on the field, they knew and thought they were the best dude walking and the baddest dude walking. So we got to figure out how to develop that mentality in the offseason.
We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
No matter if you are a professional athlete, play under Friday night lights at Chris Gilman Stadium, or a weekend warrior, injuries are a part of life. Here at Advanced Rehab, our focus is getting you back in the game faster. Personalized treatment plans, cutting-edge rehab, including our newest device, Light Force High Intensity Laser Therapy, dry needling, and more. Located off Kings Bay Road, we have been serving Camden County since 1996 and are the official physical therapy provider for Camden County Athletics. Request an appointment today at advancedrehab.com.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching-created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for the Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. The SouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and sweet tea.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Marshland Credit Union, Advanced Rehab, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. Coach, are there any changes you're considering in your schemes or player development processes or, I mean, coaches? Like, everything's being evaluated at this point, huh? Yeah. I'm not asking you to divulge any information at all. The question is, I mean, everything's being looked at, I guess. Yeah,
everything's being looked at. That's why I sat down here and was kind of explaining to you some of the things that we're already looking at. We have that report that gives us, you know, I mean, we've got a missed opportunities category. We have a offensive penalties category, defensive penalties category. We got where we had to call timeouts, why we had to call them. There's a lot of data.
The metrics are crazy. I see a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff you can look at. I mean, we've got it. Even though as being an RPO offense, where we have some only it's a straight up run play. So we have that stat where we can see. We just called a run play. How did it work out? We've got the words none region versus region game. And so there's a lot of different things we're looking at. Everything's being evaluated. Every coach. Obviously, you'll have, you know, the war of attrition where coaches may have an opportunity that they feel like is greener pasture. My biggest thing, which we have our coaches meeting on Wednesday, where I'll sit down and talk to those guys and we'll talk about timeline. But everything is always going to be evaluated from the coaches to the kids to how we lift weights to how we condition. You know, everything, how we do study hall. When you look at your program every year, you can never, even when you win a state championship, you know, you still want to look at your program and find ways to get better, not because you can't stay stagnant. Like Coach Maronto, my high school coach, told us every day you get better or worse, you know, you can't stay the same. And so we got to figure out how to make sure we get better every day.
And so can you parlay keeping team morale high with the momentum after, you know, ending the year with a win? Yeah. Like, I mean, do you focus on that and be like, hey, this is what we can do?
Yeah, because I think, you know, in that game, again, you can show that, you know, you scored enough points to win a game. You can show, you can pinpoint to Richmond Hill game where that score was the exact same and we were able to finish the drive and score a touchdown. You know, you can show that when we do it the way of the program, not just the coaches, but the way of the program. When we do it the way the program is asking you to do it, we can be successful. Because, again, I'm going to say, like, Tiff's defense looked as good as anybody in the region, maybe not named Valdosta, just because they didn't have a 6'5 defense. Or what they did have 6'5 defense. So, I mean, they looked as good as anybody you played all year. Sure. And they have good coaches. Coach Williams is a good head coach over there with how he calls offense. So I think it just shows that, guys, when we play the right way and we don't make mistakes, we can play with anybody. But when we put ourselves in bad situations, that's where we can, you know, kind of have bad things happen to us.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, what message would you like to send to the Camden County community and fans as the season wraps up?
That in everything we do is for Camden. Yep. There's not a decision that's made to put this program in a bad space. There's not a player that doesn't want to go out there and work hard. I think, again, that's the biggest thing is that we as a community have to stay together in everything that we do. We can't let, you know, as frustrating as wins and losses are, we can't let it separate us. And I think that's the biggest message is that we have to stay for Camden and what we do and how we talk and how we move. Because our kid, this generation of kid, of teenager, I should say, they need nothing but good positive pump into them.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not to say that they don't need the swift crack in the head sometimes to say, hey, get your act together. You know, I read something the other day where it was like, you know, at one point, you know, they weren't sure about what we were doing as coaches, but then as they watched some more games, they saw that our execution wasn't there. And so it's okay to tell a kid like, hey, I saw a coach put you in a one-on-one, you got to win. Or, hey, I saw this. Or when I see you out in the community and you're driving your car too fast, you're not being good to ball.
Right.
So ball can be good to you. Like there we need those people. We need community raising of our kids. You know, when you see them out there and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, definitely please get on them and tell them, you know, that's not for Camden. Because like, everything they do, how they walk, how they talk,
absolutely,
how they behave in a car, how they behave at a restaurant, they're representing Camden County as a whole, not just football, just Camden County in general.
Sure.
And so we want them to, you know, do what Jamarlin Riddle's doing right now. He represents Camden County the right way by how he's playing in the football field and then obviously how he's acting in the city limits where he's at in East Carolina. So just, you know, be for Camden. That's the biggest deal.
So, Coach, last one, you know, on a lighter note here, you know, as the season, you know, is wrapping up, you finally get a Friday night off. What's Coach Rowland going to do with his first free Friday night?
Oh, well, I think thanks to Ms. Lisa Allen, my daughter has dance practice. Dance practice? Okay. Shameless plug, but Ms. Lisa Allen does a great job with her dance troupe. So our weekend is actually taken up this weekend. And then my son Paxton is still playing football. So,
yeah.
With the Camden Chargers, they've got some stuff going on. So it's not necessarily a free Friday.
Of course.
My kids will be trying to make me do something, whether it's zoo or whatever. They were trying to get them. They're like, we don't have school, Daddy. Can we go to Disney? Can we drive to Daytona on Thursday and go to Disney on Friday? I said, well,
I forgot about
your
school,
sister has practice on Friday. So there will be no Disney on Friday. But that's what they were trying to do, obviously, is get to Orlando, to the House of Mouse they love so much. But the kids now will run my life, as I say. I have teenagers in school that run my life, and now my 10-year-old and my 7-year-old will definitely be running my life. And I don't the head coach at home, Miss Deontay.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure there's some things that I will be voluntold that have been waiting on me. So, we'll see how that goes.
I love to hear it. Coach, thanks so much for giving me some time today and throughout whole season. I've enjoyed every second of it. Thanks for joining us on the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network.